The Haines Assembly discusses complaints about the police chief, and many in the public give the new shuttle ferry designs a thumbs down. It's the KHNS Local News. This is Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The first Haynesboro Assembly meeting in more than a month on Tuesday was mostly dominated by talk of the Haines Police Department, complaints from the public and staff about the chief of police, and the chief's assertion that the issue is partly the fault of the Chilkat Valley News. The agenda item at the end of the meeting was added by Mayor Stephanie Scott. She wanted Manager Mark Ernest to address how he is handling recent complaints that have arisen within the police department. Before even reaching the agenda item, David Kammer and Dean Laurie spoke during public comment that they are unsatisfied with how their complaints against Police Chief Gary Lowe have been handled by the manager and assembly. Laurie said he has given the assembly an intent letter to file suit against the borough in how the situation has been handled. Kammer and Laurie have previously aired grievances about the chief at assembly meetings. Once the agenda item came up for discussion, Mayor Scott asked Ernest to give an update on how the recent complaints have been handled. Ernest said there was a specific incident that came to light between Chief Lowe and a department employee a few weeks ago. Ernest interviewed other members of the department, and in the course of those interviews, other concerns from staff members about the chief came to light, he said. The Chilkat Valley News detailed those complaints in an article last week. Publisher and editor of the paper, Tom Morfitt, said those allegations came from an email the newspaper has between the chief and his staff and the chief and the manager. According to the newspaper, Lowe reportedly writes in the email to Ernest that people say he belittles or makes fun of them, he doesn't value their opinions, and people fear retaliation from him. Ernest and Lowe on Wednesday confirmed that the article's information from the email was factual, but Lowe said the article gave an intentional impression of an overall sense of discontent among his staff, which he disagreed with. And Lowe let it be known Tuesday in front of the assembly that he blames the newspaper for perpetuating a sense of dysfunction at the police department to the public.
I believe last week's paper was the first of what's going to be a series of attacks against me and the police department in an attempt to discredit the police department in the eyes of the public.
Lowe said he had a meeting with Morfitt a few weeks ago about access to the daily list of calls to police dispatch, also known as the police blotter. Morfitt asked that the chief supply the daily log in its entirety, a practice Morfitt says was common under previous police chiefs. Lowe posts condensed versions of the daily log on the department's Facebook page, but does not let news media read the original blotter. He redacts names and addresses and other information he says is confidential under state statutes. Morfitt disagrees that all the redacted information by state law can be considered confidential, but he also believes the discussion of the police blotter at Tuesday's meeting is clouding the bigger issue.
He's saying that our coverage of the department is based on a gripe that I have with him about restoring press access to the blotter, and that is a red herring, I believe. I think there's a legitimate public issue with members of the police force going to the assembly and to the people in charge about concerns about the police chief.
In the course of the discussion about the blotter a few weeks ago, Lowe says Morfitt personally threatened to damage his reputation through newspaper articles.
At that time, the editor threatened me that if I did not submit to his wishes, that he would be attacking me in the newspaper.
Morfitt calls that a gross misrepresentation of what he said.
I did say to him, in the course of us trying to resolve this issue with the blotter, that if it wasn't resolved to the satisfaction of the newspaper, we might write a story about it because our readers deserve to know why, say, information is getting reported wrong in the blotter, why they might be getting a different quality of information from police than they did 10 years ago. And I told the chief that, you know, that was an option that where we were willing to go because our readers deserve to know how they get their information and how we get our information. Basically, our information is the public's information.
Chilkat Valley News reporter Karen Garcia was also in the meeting and backs up Morfitt's version of the conversation. Manager Mark Ernest was also present at the discussion of the police blotter access a few weeks ago, But he said Wednesday he wasn't prepared yet to support one version of events over the other. He said he was reviewing what was said at the Tuesday assembly meeting about the conversation before commenting. However, the assembly waded through the disagreement between the chief and the newspaper to try to bring about a plan of action for the staff and public's complaints. Ernest told the assembly that after his interviews with police department staff and discussions with the chief, he was confident Lowe would institute some changes and beef up communication and team building with his staff. The assembly made a motion to see a concrete plan for improvement from the chief through the manager at its March 26th meeting. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday with an ordinance removing the need for a public vote on leases of public lands up for action. The current code requires any municipal lease of public lands valued at more than $250,000 to be approved by voters. Interim Borough Manager Tom Healy has suggested to the Assembly this requirement causes delays when negotiating and issuing leases. He said the voting requirement also causes a level of uncertainty with the people or companies when negotiating with the municipality. He said he believes there are adequate safeguards in place protecting public interests without voter ratification. Also Thursday, the Assembly will review the repair schedule from White Pass for the ore terminal dock. You can find a complete agenda and meeting packet at the municipal's website at skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. There doesn't seem to be a day that goes by that there isn't more news on the ferry front. Tuesday, it was that the new shuttle ferry plans were roundly criticized during a legislative hearing. The plan calls for building a pair of 280-foot, 300-passenger, 53-vehicle vessels. The day boats would connect Juneau, Haines, and Skagway, operate no more than 12 hours a day, and would have no staterooms or cafeterias. No unaccompanied vehicles would be allowed either. Much of the testimony before the House and Senate Finance Committees criticized plans to leave part of the car deck uncovered. Here's some of those comments.
Don Etheridge, I'm a licensed captain. You're going to have an ice buildup in the stern of that ship for loading and unloading. And unless you've got some pretty massive heaters warming that deck up to try to keep it thawed out, it's definitely going to build ice.
My name is Captain Bill Hopkins. I'm a retired ferry master. As far as an open car deck, I think you should expect frozen sprinkler systems and fresh water systems. Wind vortices over a superstructure does allow freezing spray to land just about anywhere on the ship. And then there's the cold and no consideration for animals that are down on the car deck. And it's not just pets. People do haul livestock.
My name is Nancy Ratner, Juneau, Alaska. The proposed day ferries are too limited in range and usefulness. In the fall, winter, and spring, when the fleet of ferries is undergoing yearly maintenance, the proposed day boat ferries would be unable to fill in the scheduling gaps when other ships are in the shipyards, or to accommodate changes in scheduling due to mechanical problems.
My name is Rob Goldberg. I'm a resident of Haines, and I'm also chair of the Haines-Borough Planning Commission. And I had a long talk with Dan Kelly of AML in Ketchikan today, and this movement of these vans is critical to the whole region. There's expedited freight that comes down from Anchorage and moves throughout southeast, so eliminating this potential is serious.
My name is Malcolm Menzies, Juneau. And I'm speaking as a passenger. The one thing I do know about sailing the Lynn Canal, whether it's Juneau Haines or Juneau Skagway and back, we do not need staterooms. We do not need fancy meals. We just need to be able to get there.
My name is David Hakey. I live in Aurora Harbor here in Juneau, and I'm representing the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. If these shuttle ferries are intended to serve a hypothetical ferry terminal at the Coxsackie River, as DOT Commissioner Pat Kemp stated to the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, then the design and scope of these vessels are overkill. If the vessels are intended to serve the full length of Lynn Canal and potentially other communities, then the design and scope need to address public's concern about size, open aft, and bow doors.
My name is Sandy Williams Douglas. I see the Marine Highway System finally as leadership recognizing the need for efficient operations without jeopardizing safety and service. The Marine Highway System can't continue with the increasing gap between operating costs and revenues. In other words, we can't do everything for everyone, food service, room service, and so on, including putting vehicles on without capability of getting them off without some help at the other end.
My name is Stephanie Scott. I'm in Haines, and I do have the honor to be the mayor of the Haines Borough. I submit that the thing to do is to go back to the Alaska Class Ferry design, for which we've already spent $3 million, and attempt to publicly tweak it. And if we must, abandon the commitment to building in state, accept federal subsidies, and build the boat.
Those were some of the people testifying on the Marine Highway System's day boat shuttle plan for the Upper Lynn Canal. They spoke at a joint House and Senate Finance Committee meeting on Tuesday. Ferry officials said the design is preliminary and changes will likely be made. For example, they're considering a system for allowing unaccompanied vehicles, including container vans, on board. And a quick programming note, the Haines and Skagway High School basketball teams are at regionals this week. KHNS is committed to airing games live whenever possible, which for the next couple days may shift around our evening news. But you can always hear APRN and KHNS News online, and don't forget to catch your local news in the mornings. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.